I grew up loving the newspaper. What are you talking about? But I'm saying, like, in 2024, if you're asking for a newspaper to inform you on who to vote for, like, come on. You should do your research. Have a little self-esteem.
You're listening to 95.7 AM, KGMZ FM, and HG1 San Francisco. An Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Let's go to Salt Lake City, where the Warriors will take on the Utah Jazz in their second of 82 regular season games. And we always love having this guy on. He always listens. He always wonders how we do it, how we have the energy. I know he loves his red wine, so hopefully he had a glass last night watching some basketball. It's four-time champ, Ron Adams, assistant coach of the Golden State Warriors. Good morning, Ron. How you doing, man? Long time no talk.
Fellas, how are you guys?
Oh, we're doing great. We're doing great. And, of course, Ron joins us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Ron, interesting game on Wednesday night opener. Obviously, you blow away the Portland Trail Blazers. A lot of threes went up. I thought the defensive activity was very impressive. But the big talking point this season is so far this season as the depth of your team. And Steve played 11 guys in the first quarter. Moody checked in at the beginning of the second quarter. And it seems like it's going to be a thing moving forward here. What do you think of this with all the depth that you guys have and having the ability to play 12 or 13 guys?
Well, strength in numbers is good, right?
Yeah, no doubt. There's no doubt about that.
I think we have a lot of guys who can play.
It worked out that we got a lot of guys in the first game. And I think
over the phone part.
Yeah, we'll get Rob back on. We'll get Rob back on. Look, man, he looks like Conan O'Brien. Look at the hair, man.
You mean Conan the Barbarian?
Conan the Barbarian, yeah.
Conan O'Brien's a totally different
person.
Yeah,
totally different guy. My bad. Conan the Barbarian.
Not all white guys look the same.
No, I know. A lot of you guys do. A lot of you guys do. No, I'm kidding. By the way, they're free to YouTube chat. What are they on? Punishment for a month?
I don't. Those decisions are made above my head. I'm just here.
I get a text about that every day. Every day.
About what?
The YouTube chat. All right, we got Rob back. Go ahead, Rob. You got cut off there for a little bit. Go ahead and finish your answer up.
Well, we have a lot of depth as you know.
Yep.
And Steve likes to play a lot of different people. That happened this first game, and I think we'll find a formula to do that. It's hard to say if we'll put 11 people, we'll get 11 people in the first quarter, but I think that's going to be a template moving forward.
Ron, I loved what I saw from Andrew Wiggins. In particular, it felt like there was a stagnant part early in the game where the buckets weren't dropping, and the Warriors were like, you know what, let's just slow this down. Let's throw the ball to Wiggins in the block. And I'd love to see more of that. Is that something that you guys have been trying to utilize a little more this year?
Well, I think it will be something that we go to. We have done that in the past. I think Wiggs is primed for a really good year. Attitudinally, you know, he's had some tough going recently with his family and losing his dad, but I think his approach is great right now. He looks fit, and you know, he brings great versatility to the floor, offensively and defensively. And people must keep in mind too that, you know, every game he's generally guarding the best perimeter player.
Yep.
So he's going to be big for us this year. I'm very happy for him. I like everything about his game, and I like everything about his mind right now. And he's a delightful kid to coach, by the way. He's just a wonderful kid.
Ron, you were the first, when you guys made the move for Andrew Wiggins, bringing him over from Minnesota, you're the first guy I heard and told everybody, this guy's going to be a really good defensive player for us. I think he could be a really good individual defender. And he was that, of course, during the championship season. Now he's finally got some closure in his life. He's at peace with all his personal issues. And he was smiling. It was good to see him smile. And he is a great guy. There's no doubt about that. We all love Andrew Wiggins around here, and he played well. Also, this bench unit. The depth, we talk about strength and numbers. How about the debut of Buddy Hield? And it seems like not only is he bought in, obviously he can shoot the ball, but he was hustling back on defense. He was getting down and dirty, getting his hands on everything. Defensively, I was so impressed with the way you guys scrapped for those 50-50 balls, out-rebounded the bigger Portland Trail Blazers. Can you discuss this bench and the way they scrapped it to kind of flip that game Wednesday night in Portland?
Well, Buddy's been fantastic. I know Buddy before him coming to the our team, and I really always enjoyed him. He's a real straight shooter. He plays the game at a very high level. You know, he's never been looked at as a great defensive player, but he really works defensively, and you're going to get the best out of him. He's a bull in a china shop. He's really a strong kid defensively. But he's been a breath of fresh air for us, as have other guys. But no one practices their shooting more than Buddy. He just loves to shoot. I think it's his therapy. Some people listen to music. He likes to go to the court and just shoot for hours. It's incredible, this mindset that he has. But, yes, he's been really, really good for us in many ways. And Melt has also been really solid. And I like what he brings to the team. I like his poise. I like his defense. I like his offense. And Kyle has been great, you know, a versatile player who thinks the game and passes the ball to people and can score. And I think his three-pointer's a little bit better. But we have this group of new people who came in, and they've just given us, I think, a lot of emotional, or they've given us an emotional lift, I should say.
Yeah, it just feels like there's a lot of scrappiness and desire on this team. Not that there wasn't in years past. It's just they're a little quicker to the ball all over the place. And I'm watching Pajemski, and I was telling Bonte, I say, just throughout the course of a basketball game, there are hundreds, thousands of little plays. He makes so many winning plays. You know, getting in a passing lane, deflecting, scrapping on the ground for a rebound, making that extra pass, finding guys in the lane. Like, so much more than just hitting baskets. And I watch that guy, and I'm like, God, he brings so much to the table. But are there times you got to kind of like taper him back, Coach?
Well, he's kind of a freelancer at times, so we like him to stay within our formats. But in those areas in which you can, you know, do your thing, whether it's taking a charge, you know, he's a terrific rebounder for his size. He's a hustle guy. He sees the pictures of the game early on when he's playing, so in those areas, he really excels and did a really good job the other night. But I think this team, I think there's two things at play right now. From day one, this has been a team that's really bonded together. It didn't take very long. They like each other. They play hard. And look, when you're competing for minutes, you know, we talked about the depth that we have. When you get out there on the court, you better play your minutes. And the most important thing in playing your minutes is you come into the game with pop and aggressiveness. And I think that's what you're seeing. And that's going to be a strength of our team. It's got to be a strength of our team.
And it seems,
we're not a huge team. We're playing Giants tonight.
Yep.
Big front line. And our hustle and our tenacity and our togetherness are going to be the things that I think make a difference.
It's good to have depth too, Ron. As we're talking to Ron Adams, assistant coach of the Golden State Warriors here on the River Islands guest line, the depth is really going to come to play tonight because maybe you could enlighten the fans on what it's like to play in Salt Lake City in that altitude at the Delta Center. And you talk about those tall trees and marketing, and there was a lot of noise about him this past offseason. And, of course, Walker Kessler had a monster double-double the other night against the Memphis Grizzlies. That depth is really going to be put on display, right, tonight because of that altitude and the pace that you guys play at?
Yeah, the altitude can, for those, especially the younger guys who haven't played in it, it can be a factor. And it becomes mind over matter for the veteran guys. They've been through it a lot. But yes, depth definitely helps in this area. I mean, you can't acclimate to it. You know, we don't come in and train 3 weeks before. So it is a factor. We've always played well here, and I think that added depth helps us certainly at this altitude.
Coach, I'm always fascinated by when you're sitting on the sidelines in any sport, youth, high school, professional, college level, whatever, having different voices communicate to the players and maybe just talk things out from a different perspective from the sidelines. It's good. I think it's a good thing. What is Terry Stotts and Jerry Stackhouse, what have they been bringing maybe perspective-wise, voice-wise, that's a little unique and helping you guys a little this year early on?
Well, first of all, both of them are really, really good people. I coached Jerry before, early in his career, and I've worked with Terry a number of years. So Terry and Jerry are just great people, number one. Terry, I think, is one of the two or three best offensive coaches in the league as a head coach. He's always been very innovative, and he's always utilized his personnel well. And I think he has been really good for Steve, and they have a great banter, and I think we're doing some really good stuff offensively. Both of them think, you know, like mind in terms of movement and this kind of thing, and so it's been fun to watch those two guys work. But Terry brings a lot to the table, and Jerry's Jerry was a tough player. Really a hard playing dude, and really enjoyed coaching him. He brings that to coaching defense. He's very organized. He's adamant. I think he's just a really good presence around the guys and talking to the guys. So those two additions have been great. And, you know, a number of the coaches on our staff who work with players have really good rapport with our players. And I think during a game it's very important, because that's when the relationships you've built in player development and so on. And in coaching these guys come into play, because a lot of dicey things happen in a game, and being able to communicate directly and being able to criticize when the time comes for it, you know, in the right way is important. And when you have that rapport, you can do those things.
We can't wait to watch you guys. Warrior fans are excited about this season, really excited about the way you guys played against the Portland Trail Blazers. Step up in competition, of course, but Utah's, they're always going to play hard under Coach Hardy. It's going to be a fun one tonight out in Salt Lake City. And, of course, we'll see you Sunday for the home opener when you guys take out the Clippers. We always love talking to you before the game. Rod, you're a wealth of knowledge, and it's always good to speak to you.
You guys be well. And a tip for you, there's a great article on Ann Kerr, Steve's mom. Ron Krawczyk wrote it. It was in the online Chronicle edition. I was looking at it this morning.
Oh.
And it's a wonderful article. You talk about an amazing person. Check out Ann Kerr. She's wonderful.
I'm going to go buy a newspaper. Forget the online article. I'm buying a newspaper
to go read that article. I don't think it's in today's newspaper. It'll probably be in tomorrow's.
Gotcha. We'll check that out. Ron, see, there you go. You're always educating us, right? I always feel smarter when I talk to you.
Be well.
All right, you too, Coach.
Thanks,
good
Ron.
Luck tonight. Good luck tonight. Assistant Coach Sherrod Adams here on the Morning Rose, four-time champ. We'll do the Friday Flush on the other side, plus replay. Mike Tirico. Don't forget to tune in to Warriors Live today, presented by Xfinity Stream Sports, from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. That's right. Willard and Dibs with Warriors Live coming up right before the game with the Jazz and the Warriors. And that's what's coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. Replay of Mike Tirico and the Friday Flush here on the Rust.
Nation, it's Ron Adams. You're listening to the Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
That's good stuff. Download the Odyssey app, 95.7 The Game. Thousands of other stations and millions of podcasts are completely free on the Odyssey app. Sports talk, music, news, great podcasts, like our podcast, like Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys, all that stuff. Follow your favorite teams, Niners, Warriors, stations, your radio shows, like Willard and Dibs, of course. And when did Barry Switzer join Study at Goo? Was that a couple weeks ago? Was that this week? Barry Switzer, who knows? I guess check
that was
that
yesterday, and it's on the Odyssey app.
Oh, wow, it was yesterday. But Barry Switzer, all right, let's get to the Friday Flush. Let me go ahead, take it away.
That is right. It is time for the Friday Flush, presented by FlowingWater.net and our friends Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. For all your plumbing needs, go to FlowingWater.net. This week, we are flushing one of our favorites, Jerry Jones, in his non-apology to our friends RJ and Sean.
Jerry, what do you want to say, if anything, about last week?
I don't have anything to say about last week. I'm happy, though, that I must tell you I'm surprised that last week got the attention it got, but really when I think about what we try to do on this show is I think we give you two shots a week that I get on and Stephen gets on once or twice, and those are really a privilege. It's kind of like pillow talk. You get some insight.
I think you go to Peloton in an apology. It's not really an apology.
Pillow talk, not Peloton.
Peloton. I thought you can't understand.
Close enough.
Can't understand what he's even saying half the time because his mouth's so jumbled. That is our Friday Flush, presented by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. For all your plumbing needs, go to flowingwater.net. Guys, that's a Friday Flush.
That's Friday Flush. That's Friday Flush. Earlier today, we brought in Mike Tirico to talk about Sunday night's game between the Niners and Cowboys. We will replay that for you now. We asked him to diagnose the biggest issues with the 49ers through the first seven games of the season.
All right, let's get into the Niner game. You brought up Candlestick. And look, Mike, from the outside looking in, all right, Niner fans, I want your opinion on this because Niner fans internally are losing their minds. They've got questions on the coach. They've got questions on the quarterback. They've got questions on the defense. I mean, we're knocking the DC every single week and, you know, our downfield passing. What is your diagnosis as to what has happened to the 49ers this year?
Okay, deep breath, deep breath. First off, coach, when you start to get to the coach, you get to the insanity phase of your thoughts. Like, if Kyle was not the Niners coach, about 28 teams would hire him in 5 seconds. Honestly, like, unless you have a coach you love who's great, who's perfect, they dump their guy for Kyle in 5 seconds. So stop that insanity, okay? When you take the best player in the league on offense, the most unique and talented player off of your team, you're not going to be as good. And then when you have instability with the receivers, and when you come out to a game, this is not disrespecting these individuals, but when you come out against the defending world champions and you're lining up Jacob Cowling and Chris Conley and Ricky Pearsall, that's not Ayuk, Samuel, and Jennings.
Mm-hmm.
And any team that you take the top three, the four top options are off the field. Four of the five, Kittle would be in that top four. Four of the five top options are off the field, and you're playing the best team in the league, and you're still hanging with them. So it's been a bad run. This happens to teams. It's not a Super Bowl hangover. It also happens to teams when you pay your superstar guys a lot of money. It's really hard to have high-quality depth. So this is just a little bit of a phase here. Having said that, no one has run away with the division.
Yep.
You've got a great chance to win the division and get a home playoff game. If not, you still have a really good opportunity to be a wild card team. That's why I think this game's important. Usually you're looking at Dallas, San Francisco, and you're thinking, hey, this could be for who's going to be the number one seed, all that stuff, head-to-head, very important game. It might be important head-to-head for a wild-card tiebreaker. I mean, that's possible. And the other cautionary tale, and I'm giving you a bunch here, but Kyle started 3-4 before and got into the NFC Championship game. That doesn't mean it's going to happen this year, but it's just a recent reminder there is a ton of freeway ahead in this season. So don't panic yet. There are signs of concern now. No Ayuk is going to hurt. That's irreplaceable. Can Christian come back and be anything close to what he has been? That's unknown. Huge factors. But there's still a lot of freeway down there, so just don't panic yet.
Mike, I love you already. I can send you a gift basket because I try to talk this guy off from panicking, and he won't listen to me about Shedden or any of this stuff. So maybe Mike Tirico saying that will help my guy Joe Shazzy here. We're talking to Mike Tirico, the voice of Sunday Night Football, of course, NBC. You can check out the game on NBC Sports and the Peacock app. He's here on the River Islands guest line. You mentioned the 3-4 start in 2022. How about the 3-5 start in 2021? NFC Championship game appearance. They had the 3-game losing streak last year. And Brock Purdy, there was some turbulence last year with Brock Purdy. What have you seen from him from afar in his second full season as starting quarterback of the 49ers, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, he's not coming off his best game, right? And Spags has done that to people. Spags does that to a lot of people with Kansas City over the years. So that's a hair of a concern. Now I start to read the conversation, which is totally understandable, of is there pressure because it is a true contract year and, you know, Brock's, he can open the negotiating window and all that stuff. you know, like I thought we put the conversation of system quarterback behind, and I still think it should be behind because, yeah, he's part of a really good system. And, yeah, he makes it go. Let me share this with you, and we'll share this with the audience. The Cowboys have a good emerging linebacker named DeMarvion Overshown. He wears number 13 for them, physical, flies all over the place. Second year out of Texas, he tore his ACL, so didn't play last year. He played at Texas, and he played Brock four times when Brock was at Iowa State. And he told us yesterday when we talked to him, or maybe it was Wednesday, I beg your pardon, he said, you know, from his freshman year at Iowa State, we're like, this dude's a baller. He can play. And he's just continued to show that. So we've got to get past that stuff with Brock. Again, you take all these good players around you away, you're not going to be as good. You know, we're seeing it with Kansas City. Look, they're going out and getting guys because Mahomes keeps losing guys. They went out and got Juju back there. They went out and got DeAndre Hopkins. They're getting guys because Mahomes needs players. Patrick Mahomes is having statistically a poor run because the guys around him aren't there. So you got to do these things. So Purdy's not the problem. It might not be a year where things get turned around if the guys don't come back healthy. And obviously, Ayuk gone for the season. It's a hard conference with the NFC North being so good. It's a hard division with the Rams getting healthy and not being sellers all of a sudden. Arizona's a pain, as you guys know. Seattle will never be an easy out, especially when they play at home. So The division's going to be hard. A wild card's going to be hard. It's not going to be a smooth sailing. But there are the people here to get this thing right.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Mason, although not CMC, has been really good this year for them.
Yeah.
And obviously, George Kittle still, and I just think he's a legend. He's an all-time 49er. He's awesome. I'm looking at this Dallas defense, and they're just not the same. And they're giving up a ton of yards on the run, 143 per game. Do you think that's the recipe for the Niners to get back into this one, is run the ball?
Well, if I'm Dallas, I'm scared of that for sure. Dallas has not been a good run defense. They've changed coordinators to Mike Zimmer, and I think you're going through one of those when the coordinators change and the personnel exactly match the new scheme. Like you said, they're bottom five in run defense. They're second to last in points allowed in the league. They're missing Micah Parsons, don't know if he's going to come back. They're missing DeMarcus Lawrence. Take your two edge players off. Deron Bland, who led the league in interceptions last year, he's been out all season. So you start taking these pieces away, and the guys who fill in, they play well. They're not going to play as well. And when you take two corners, or a corner and two edge rushers off a team, they're not going to be as good. Plus, you're making this system change. So, yes, it's a great opportunity against a team in Dallas that does not run it well and does not stop the run to get yourself right. However, they're desperate. They're coming off their bye. They got embarrassed. They got cleaned out at home by Detroit, the worst home loss, you know, in Jerry's time there. So don't think they're going to come in and go, well, you know, we're 3-4. We're 3-3. We're not as good. And they know what is on the line for them, and they've been embarrassed as well. So I think there's a little bit of desperation with both teams at play coming into this game, which kind of heightens the stakes for teams that are used to being playoff teams and expect to be playoff teams.
You know, Mike, you mentioned how you met with some of the Cowboys on Wednesday. Is there a built-in pressure there in Dallas? I mean, you got the owner, Jerry Jones. We've seen what he's done on the radio over the last couple of weeks. This week, he's discussing the design of the plays. He doesn't think the design of the plays had been good by Mike McCarthy. And Mike McCarthy said, well, I got to go back and look to see if the design of the plays are good. What is it like in that building, man? Because it feels like they walk on eggshells, especially Dak and the CD connection and everything that's going on with Dallas. Can you tell us about just meeting with them, and can you feel the pressure from that building?
Yeah, no doubt it's a different atmosphere. You know, we used to talk about in sports, hey, can you handle the New York market? Well, playing for the Cowboys is similar to that. It is high intensity, you know, every possible angle covering the Cowboys on a regular basis, expectations of championship or not. The owner is the general manager. There's no setup like that anywhere else in sports. You have to go back to Al Davis, really, to find where the owner is making the personnel decisions with his son, Stephen Jones, who's very involved, you know, as much involved in football as Jerry is. And there are other personnel folks. It's not just those two. But there's a, you know, it's a different feel. They have tours coming through the building on a regular basis. People can walk by and watch watch players, you know, practicing, get warmed up, and things like that. It's a little bit of a high visibility circus at times, but if you can handle that pressure, then you are not in any way thrown off when you come to Santa Clara. It's a big playoff game, and the place is rocking. Or you go to Green Bay, or you go anywhere in the league. So I think it takes the right kind of guy to thrive in Dallas. And for the most part, you go in with your eyes open. But look, this generation, which holds a camera up to its own face and to a mirror at every turn, is really, and I've got two kids in this generation, right, so I get it. You know, they're very comfortable being in the spotlight, right? Well, they thrive it, they seek it. For some people, it's great. For others, it's not. And if that's the case, when you're a free agent, you go to Jacksonville or to Cleveland or to a market where you don't get this much attention. A lot of the guys in Dallas know what they're signing up for. It does put an extra pressure. But here's what I'll say. The story came out this week that, you know, maybe there's too much attention to the Cowboys, maybe practicing while there are tours going on is a bother. It didn't stop them from winning 12 games last year. Mm-hmm. It didn't stop them from winning playoff games the couple of years before that. It is not the reason that Dak Prescott and the Cowboys couldn't get the ball spiked against San Francisco at home in the playoffs a couple of years ago, right? That one play could be the difference in them winning that game or losing that game. So it has nothing to do with that. I think that's just kind of trying to find a little scab and picking at it. It's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure in the NFL. Wherever you go, there's a little bit more there. And everybody in Dallas knows that they are part of it. And I think at the end of their careers, they want to say they play for the Cowboys.
No doubt. Mike Tirico here on the River Islands guest line on the Morning Rush on 95.7 The Game. Speaking of pressure, you've dealt with pressure your entire career. You had to replace Al Michaels on Sunday Night Football. And, you know, growing up, Monday Night Football was a thing, right? It was Monday Night Football, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 o'clock Eastern. And Sunday Night Football is on ESPN and TNT or whatnot, but didn't have the cachet as Monday Night Football. But now Sunday Night Football has become the it thing, averaging over 22.2 million viewers across NBC and Peacock, pacing to be primetime's number one show for the 14th consecutive year. And you've been a part of that, whether it's hosting the pregame show or being at a booth with Chris Collinsworth. Can you speak to us about Sunday Night Football and what you guys do to make it such a great production?
Well, thank you for sharing and saying that. Yeah, we love it. You know, for me, I did a decade of Monday Night Football and covered the NBA and covered a ton of big events in my 25 years at ESPN, and it was great. And it was truly a ceiling in so many respects for my career at that point. At least I felt that way. But then I've come to NBC, and I've been fortunate enough now, this is my eighth year here, to do so many events that you would say are even a bigger scale of event, like the Olympic Games, like the Kentucky Derby, like the Indy 500, like these Sunday night games. It gives you a little goosebump when you hear Carrie Underwood get started with that theme song for Sunday Night Football. You know, it matters to the players. We were with Aaron Rodgers last week before the Jets game, and Aaron said, "Hey, it's a big game Sunday night. Stars ball out on Sunday night." It's like, yep, that's right. That's the attitude players have. Because when you think about it, everybody's been at their game during the day. They're either flying home or they're at home. They're hanging out with friends, families. You guys watch a day full of football. Your fantasy football game has come down to this game or maybe this game and the Monday night game. And everybody who's a football fan at some point at least stops and checks in on the Sunday night game for a while. So we know we've got the eyes and the attention, and our production team week in, week out just brings it with new ideas and fresh ways to tell the stories. And the one thing we like to do is we like to be able to tell stories about the people who are playing. We can talk XO, and Chris does that. We can talk about T.J. Watt on his third step, is where his power and energy and his moves come, and break down all that stuff. But I'll give you a great example. Dak Prescott got engaged this week. So we talked to him about his engagement and what happened there. And we share that story. I believe, as the Olympic Network, one of the things we love to do is tell stories about people. Because if you are engaged in the person who's playing more than the laundry, more than their jersey and the number on their back, then you care about them. And I think we all love to hear stories of how people have succeeded and triumphed to get to where they are. We love sharing those stories. So that's one of the approaches we try to take during the game, in addition to, you know, Brock Purdy and what his mechanics are and all that stuff. So some mix of that. Hopefully it keeps everybody entertained. We're not solving the problems of the world, but for 3 hours, if you come, learn a little bit about football, learn a bit about the humans who play it, then we get on the plane and go home and do it again the next week, and we feel pretty good about it.
Fred Warner is someone that I just think is a special human being. If I, you know, had a daughter, I'd want him to marry my daughter. You know, I want him a part of my family. He's a stand-up dude in an era where it feels like there aren't a lot of them these days. And I love everything about this guy, the way he conducts himself. He could run my corporation. I would want him in the trenches. He's just so candid and such a great leader. You've met a lot of people. Where does Fred Warner stack up as a human being and then as a football player of the people you've met?
You've nailed it. Exactly. Matter of fact, we're going to meet with Fred. We're scheduled to, at least, after 49ers practice this afternoon. That's why we come into town, to, you know, instead of doing the Zoom call, to be there, watch practice, and be there in person, and sit across the table from the players. That there's nothing more real than being, you know, doing the work. And seeing people firsthand and talking to them. And we're going to hopefully visit with Fred after practice today. And everything you said is right. He's one of those special leaders, and his game seems to get better. He seems to perform at a higher level. And you just love seeing that, because those things last. You know, it's funny. When you mentioned the pick of the stick and Navarro Bowman, like, just how good that group was. And we're with Jeff Ulbrich last week in Pittsburgh on Saturday, and he's telling us Patrick Willis stories, right? How Brick was sure that, you know, here comes some other guy they drafted, and, you know, he'll sit behind me for a year or two. And then after a couple of days, he's like, okay, I got a problem here. This guy's really good. And then Ulbrich started teaching Willis, and Willis is looking over to him on the sidelines during games, and all of a sudden, Jeff Ulbrich got the coaching bug because of the time he took mentoring Patrick Willis. Like, and that's how Jeff Ulbrich has risen to be a head coach in the NFL. Yep. Never would have known that story, right?
Yep.
But it just talks about the tradition of players and being leaders. And Fred is not just a leader in terms of mentoring young players on a defense, keeping things together as a new coordinator, and then Nick Sorensen pieces things together. But he's also a guy who's helping create a legacy, or continue a legacy, really, at this position. So you're right. He's one of the special ones. He's one of the guys who gets the attention. I think because the 49ers offense always is dynamic, that's always the front porch to the conversation on San Francisco. It comes first. But Fred Warner's as good as anybody in that building, and he's going to be a big reason if this team turns it around, that they do turn it around. So I'm looking forward to visiting with him later this afternoon.
Yeah, he's one forced fumble away from tying the great Patrick Willis to Hall of Famer for most forced fumbles in 49ers history here. We're talking to Mike Tirico. Last one for you here. Tom Brady is entering the broadcast world. Obviously, he's gone through the first 8 weeks, and maybe you have some thoughts on that. But he's also going to help out the Las Vegas Raiders as a part owner, right? And how difficult would your job be if you were not able to attend these production meetings? Because I just find it, boy, if Brady's not going to be able to be in the meetings and talk to the coaches and get some sense of the game plan, and then maybe some other teams will see him on the sidelines and, well, wait a minute, you have some Raider ties. I don't want you talking to my players. This could be potential tampering here. How difficult would that be for you, Mike, if you were not allowed to go to production meetings due to your ownership duties or whatever that Tom Brady is going through here?
We're not even talking first world problems. We're talking half world problems.
Half world problems. Yeah, no. Never on this show. We're never talking worldwide problems. No.
Look, it would be a problem for me because I'm 5'7", slow, old, not athletic, and didn't win 7 Super Bowls. For Tom Brady, it's much less of a problem because, one, Tom Brady's observations are about as good as anybody you want to hear from in the game right now. Secondly, at least to me, I think players want to talk to Tom Brady for themselves, right? I saw his sit down with Patrick Mahomes. So maybe it's not in the traditional production meeting setting.
Gotcha.
But I'm going to guess players are reaching out, or if Tom sees them on the field before the game, he may come say hi. There's so many old teammates and friends in the business still, right? That there's going to be some sort of conversation. Now, I trust Tom and his legacy, his history, the quality of individual he is. I don't think Tom is bringing palace secrets back to the Raiders. I really don't. I trust him as much as anybody I would trust. So I wouldn't say that that's happening. Look, I totally understand why some folks are uncomfortable with it. I worked with John Gruden, and when Jay Gruden, John's brother, was an assistant coach, there were teams who were concerned about letting John in the building because he may tell his brother something if it was a team in the same division. Paranoia is the oxygen for football coaches at every level, and that's understandable. Yeah. But I don't think it's impacting Tom and his ability to do the job. I don't think the audience is being cheated by it. They have to work differently, right? It's not the same opportunity we have. I love having Chris at practice with me because Chris sees things that I would never see. But Tom's finding a way to still, one, provide the viewers information. He's working with one of my favorite people in Kevin Burkhardt. They've made a really good team. And I will say this, and you didn't ask this, but so we have Dallas and San Francisco, and the last San Francisco game Tom broadcast, as you all know here. The last Dallas game was Dallas-Detroit, and Tom was the broadcaster there. I enjoy him in the booth. I think for somebody who's done 6 or 7 games in his career, he sounds fabulous. I've communicated with him back and forth before the season, start of the season. I know how hard he works, and you can hear it when you watch the broadcast. So good for Tom and good for football because on Sundays, I want to hear what Troy has to say. I want to hear what Tom has to say as a fan because we always keep learning. So I'm glad it's working out for him, and I'm glad it's working out for Fox. It may put them at a slight disadvantage, but I don't think it's impacting what they're doing. The shows are fun to watch, and I enjoy them.
That was a lot of fun. A lot of fun with Mike Tirico earlier today. In case you missed it, we want to replay it to you. It's not often we get Mike Tirico as a voice of Sunday Night Football because of the Olympic Games, the Kentucky Derby, and when the NBA returns to NBC next season. Kind of sad. I was watching TNT last night, and Barkley named that team or named that player. And for 7 years in a row, he couldn't figure out Garrett Temple. Because Garrett Temple's still in the league? We got to do something, Barkley. We got to bring Barkley over to NBC. Yeah.
You know what's happening, right?
What's that?
Multiple big programmers, NBC, ESPN, are shuffling the decks, Amazon as well, to afford him. They're going to bring the whole show over there to one of those particular platforms.
Got to get Kitty. Got to get Ernie Johnson. Got to convince him.
Ernie might just stay there because they want to buy, now that they can't afford the NBA, they're probably going to buy something else.
Baseball?
I don't know. Bigger baseball package. I don't know. College? I'm thinking they're going to go college route.
Football?
Something that's going to be a little less expensive. I don't know.
Be interesting. It'd be interesting. But we get Yankees, Dodgers, we got Niners, Cowboys, we got a great college football slate. IU has College Game Day, Indiana University. They're playing the Washington Huskies this week, and they're undefeated. They're looking to make a big run here to Indiana Hoosiers. Look out for them. Who knew? Who knew that they would be a college football powerhouse this season? Who knew?
Well,
it's obviously Niners Cowboys where we start. Obviously, we got Warriors and Jazz tonight. But the big one on Sunday, the Niners have to get this win. It is a must win.
Who are you calling out? Not that you're saying that this person sucks or anything. Who has to have a big game for the San Francisco 49ers to win?
Look, Nick Bosa has been playing phenomenal football, so I'm not going to go there. I called out Nick Bosa. He's responded with two great performances, one against Kansas City, one against Seattle. So I got no beef with Nick Bosa. I've got to call out the Niner playmakers. Whoever's on that football field. Deebo, Juwan Jennings sounds like he's not going to go with the hip injury. He's probably coming back. So it's on the youngsters. And I hate to do it. Jacob Cowing and Ricky Pearsall. But I have to call out the 49er playmakers, and that includes the running backs and George Kittle, to make some plays for Brock Purdy. Make his life easier. Now, what the hell with that? I know I'm taking it all the time. I'm calling out the offensive line. Protect Brock Purdy. Give him all the time in the world. Create running lanes for Jordan Mason. This is on the offensive line to dominate this football game against a wounded defensive front of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm going to go straight to the quarterback. To me, when you have a Sunday night game, a standalone primetime game, everyone walks away talking about the quarterbacks one way or the other the next day. It's Dak versus Brock. And Niner fans, there are a lot of people around the country who think the second you pay Brock, your team will look a lot more like what Dak's team looks around him. So You know, as we argue about, whoa, they could have got Saquon Barkley in the offseason. The Cowboys could have got Derrick Henry in the offseason. Well, when you're paying the quarterback, you got to make tough decisions. I'm telling you, if you don't think Monday morning every national talking head is going to be talking quarterback coming out of that Cowboy Niner game, you're tripping.
Well, that's all they do is talk quarterback, so that's no surprise there. They're always going to talk quarterback on a national show because that's all they can talk about. And sometimes it's lazy, sometimes it's not, but I love what Mike Tirico says. Everybody calls him a system quarterback. Well, one, they all run systems, but Brock Purdy has elevated this system that Shanahan employs. There's no doubt about that, but it's a huge game for him on Sunday. Call it out, anybody? Let's go to 6562 says it's on Purdy. What about Nick at Berkeley? Nick at Berkeley, what's happening?
What's up, Nick?
What's up, y'all? Hey, first of all, man, there's no pillow talk on the morning roast, Jerry. You about to find that out Sunday night. Let me tell you, the Niners, for all you haters out there and doubters out there, Sassy, do not panic. We're coming like Quincy Hall down the stretch, baby. We're taking it home. I'm telling you. Let's go, Niners. Be hyped on Sunday night, Facebook, and we're putting it down. Hey, Nick, we're going to rip the star off the little helmet.
Nick, real quick, on the Warriors. Give me some thoughts on the Warriors, Nick.
Man, the Warriors are balling, man. I'm looking forward to the youngsters balling, man. Curry going to lead the way, man. We about to put it down, bro. I like the lineup we got right now. And, man, let's go. Don't ever doubt Curry, man. He's a gold medal winner. Let's go. Let's go.
That's what I needed you, Nick, in my life. What about Tony in Oakland? Tony in Oakland. Talk to me, Tony. Talk to me.
No. She's heading out. She had to give Sam some information, I guess, of some sort. She's not calling in today. She had to give Sam. So they were just talking on the phone for a couple minutes, actually, together.
I had to learn how she beat AI.
Wait, what?
Beat AI.
She beat AI. What does she mean?
We're not talking Allen Iverson here.
AI, yeah.
Yeah, she went to this museum, and I guess she was able to outsmart whatever AI stuff they were using there because she's just in the zone that way.
So you and Tony just had a conversation, and she was explaining to you how she beat AI.
Mm-hmm.
That was what the entire conversation was about.
Yep. And also she talked about, you know, the sword and the stone. When you take away the S, you have the words and the tone. And that's what you have, Bonte, and that's why we get to listen to the show every day.
That's pretty fire, actually.
That is pretty.
No, crazy. She actually cooked with that one. I'm still thinking about that one more than the AI story.
You're in concussion protocol after hearing that entire thing.
Well, it's because you're not in the zone.
There you go. That's a four.
You got to do, Shaskies. You have that sword, but you got to take the S off of sword.
The boy
so you
doesn't
get the
know
word.
The zone as well as you do, Bonte.
Hey, you know what? Tony ain't never lied. That's for sure.
He doesn't have the balls.
That one is just so aggressive. So aggressive.
Dude, I mean, wow. The sword. That is, I'm mind blown.
I was thinking about Tony the other day and the coin of England and that whole spiel that she went through with that. I thought that was a really interesting one.
You know,
I don't get it, but I liked it.
Tony, if we need to get fired up for a football game, if I need to get fired up for a broadcast, maybe I'll get a phone number and just call Tony and let her spit for 5 minutes to get me rolling.
When she appears at the gatehouse
spit game,
for Warriors
spit
pre and
mileage,
post.
Spit like, God, you guys. Amateur hour.
No one
here,
said
man.
Anything. We just
no, you guys
literally
just looked at
just
each other.
We just looked at you. We were waiting where that was going.
Hey. It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Oh. Unbeatable internet. Oh. Only from Xfinity.
Fidoni's still bitter because we left him hanging on his G, Carlo. That's why he left me hanging. The pettiness on this show.
There's some words and tones there for sure.
Some high-level hate going on. Guys, man. You guys. Damn.
You're a high-level loser, bro.
Damn.
Let's go first.
Final thoughts.
Hey, you know, Sam, you go away. You've been on fire. And we always cut you off anyway.
You always cut him off.
I said that.
Just had to make sure you said that.
I'm just waiting for you guys to get all this out so I can speak, you know, uninterrupted because, guys, it's a big one tomorrow. The big matchup, the biggest matchup of the whole year. Bonte's not into it because he knows what's going to come. It's for three Pause. Long years. I've been waiting. God, you're so close to you not interrupting me. For three long years, we've been waiting for this day when Miami finally puts those losers in that trailer park town of Tallahassee back in the ground where they belong. What, the 1-6 right now? Ugh, jeez, yeah. Not even sport. It's just a glorified practice at this point.
If you're Cal football, your one, like the one win on Florida State's schedule is that one.
Yeah.
And Cal has lost heartbreaking games this year. It is they could easily, and I'm not even joking when I say this, easily be undefeated.
The poor kicker.
Oh, I think what their four ACC losses by a combined like 10 points.
Is it even that much?
Oh. The poor kicker. And then, of course, you had to blow 25-point lead against Miami. You know, I was hoping we got through the week without talking about this game. I know it's at, what, 4 o'clock Pacific
black
time?
Black and orange jerseys for
and the blackouts.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like it
for the University of Miami.
Yeah, you may lose because of the blackout.
Not my favorite jerseys, but it's whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't
look good in anything.
But you know what?
I'll be the judge of that.
Florida State is unwatchable. I mean, did you watch them last Friday against Duke?
No.
DJ's basically getting just sat down. I'm just going to focus on my education. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's how you know it's bad.
I told you, he's going to be at Enterprise working at the car rental service in a couple months.
A game for your life right now. Trey or DJ?
Oh, I go Trey Lance. Easily.
Trey's made it to the league.
I mean, Trey saved the season in 2021. Houston, Texas, you lose that football game, the Niners don't go to the NFC Championship. They don't even go to the playoffs. So, we saw Trey in a do-or-die game, and I know the stats. 16-23, 249, two touchdowns, and an interception for Trey Lance.
Just wait for Dak to slip up.
I'm just saying. DJ, oh my gosh.
This is the ghost of Trey Lance.
Go ahead, Spadoni, get in here.
Did you guys see what Shador Sanders said on his podcast? I know you guys are really tapped into that podcast, whatever the hell it's called. But so Shador Sanders, obviously son of Deion and quarterback for the University of Colorado.
Wait a minute. That's his son?
That's his son. And probably going to be the first quarterback taken in next year's draft, him or Cam Ward, it would look like. This is what he had to say in regards to Tom Brady becoming part owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. Quote, I think it was a great decision. Great thing for him. He did everything he can on the field. So off the field, he's, I guess, indulging in a lot of different things right now. But they said he's looking for a quarterback next year. So we'll see. Shador Sanders is going to be in the silver and black, ladies and gentlemen.
I think I'd rather have, if I'm going number one overall, I'm taking Cam Ward over him.
No, I think I'm taking Shador.
Yeah, I like Cam's attitude.
I do love Cam's attitude. But I love Shador's attitude. Shador's balling. They got a big game tomorrow night against Cincinnati in Folsom, Colorado. Boulder, Colorado, I should say. Folsom Field. So my final thought is Niners get a win, please. And the Warriors, I want to come back. Man, how great would it be to come back Monday with the Warriors at 3-0?
You've got Dodgers in 7. That's what you think?
No, I'm taking
Yankees in 6.
I think the Dodgers are going to win in 6, but gosh, I'm rooting for the Yankees.
Okay, I'm going to take Yankees in 6.
I got Dodgers in 6.
Okay. I'm going to get Aaron Judge MVP.
Yankees in 5.
Teoscar Hernandez MVP.
Oh, if the Yankees win, I go Juan Soto MVP. If the Dodgers win, I go Mookie Betts MVP.
Gene Carlos Stanton. For the MVP.
Not Giancarlo Stanton. Gene Carlos
Stanton. Be wearing his Levi jeans, Carlos. Let's get out of here.
He's a white jeans kind of guy.
Fast five. That was small.
A part of me wants to fly down to LA to go watch this game.
Yeah, you got to pay for it? Oh, you got money like that, huh? Cheapest ticket, $650.
Is that how much it is?
Yeah, it's cheapest. In the Bronx, it's
Sam, give
over
me a credential.
At home or on the go, you get the fastest internet to all of your devices. Have a great weekend, everybody.